jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning out there to all of you. I love my wife's shirt on today. I don't know why I do other than I love my wife. I love my wife. And I'm just pondering that a little bit this weekend. There's probably nobody less appreciated than my wife. I appreciate her, and she knows I tell her that all the time. But, you run through the periods of time in your life. I ran into an old buddy of mine this Saturday. My buddy Rodney took me out to breakfast, and I ran into one of my old coaching buddies. And I hadn't seen him in years. He was a real Dave Klontz, was a real mentor to me as a young coach. When I first got the job as head football coach at Heath High School in 1983, Dave was kind of an elder statesman to me at that time, even though I was 30, 35. I don't know, how old would I have been, 1987? 35 years old. And Dave was probably 45 and seemed like a really, really old man to me and gave me some great, great wisdom. And I hadn't seen him in like forever and had a chance to sit down with him. And, you know, during the course of the conversation, I don't know what you guys think. If you go back and you look over your lives, I've lived like five different, there's like five different versions of me. Anybody else feel that way? My phone's going off. All right, good, Stephanie. Five different versions of me. There's one of me hanging over here on the wall, picture me as a high school football coach at Heath in 1983 through 1989. I think I left Heath in 1989. Then there's the guy that went to, then I got born again. And, well, there's my life up before that, right? There was the growing up at home high school guy that was me. Then there was that four-year college guy that was me. And then there was that me that got married and didn't even know what I was doing when I got married at 27. And then at 35, I got born again. Oh, my goodness. Then my life changed again. And then at 30, 40, 40, 44, I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union, and I became another whole me. And then I walked away from teaching and coaching, and then I got – do you guys feel that way? Do you ever look back over your life and look at – think – like when I run – just stay with me a second – and I kind of thought as I walked up to the table, there's a bunch of guys at that table where Dave was sitting, and a bunch of guys that I knew I hadn't seen in forever. I don't hide, but I just hadn't seen. And I walked up and, you know, said something to all of them, and they were about six of them sitting at their table. And then Rod and I went and sat in our other table. And I had this strange feeling that I knew all those guys, but they didn't know me. You might know what I'm talking about. They knew the old me. And it was really kind of, I could feel a little bit of tension in the room because they knew the caricature of me, of what they'd heard and what they'd read and what others had said about me. They didn't know me. And then I realized as I sat there and was talking, Dave and George and Rod, we were sitting there talking. You know what else I realized? I didn't really know me. I didn't really know who I was. I mean, I did, but I really did. I've been so many things. Can anybody out there say amen so I don't feel like I'm crazy? You ever feel like you've lived five different lives, each one about 5, 10, 15 years long? Then something happens in your life and it switches and turns you upside down. And
amen. Amen, Coach.
Yep. I mean, it's so real to me. And I just throughout this whole thing, I've loved my wife. And she's been the one constant thing in our family. And every night when I go to bed, I just tell her, man, this is the highlight of my life to be able to just lay down here and do life with you and wake up in the morning and you'll still be here. And I wake up in the morning, you wake up in the morning, I'm still here and we're still doing this thing. And we'll go put a stake in the ground, do it again tomorrow. And whatever thing come our way, we'll handle it and we'll handle it together. And We'll try to be the rock for our family and our children and our grandchildren. And we just try to be all those things and try to somehow help them to understand the changes. I mean, seasons to everything. There's a season. And then what it says I give credit to the birds because they sang it. Turn, 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 right? To everything, there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to... Where is that, Mike? That's in Ecclesiastes. Is that Ecclesiastes 3? I think it is. Ecclesiastes 3. See if you can't pull that up. No, I'm not melancholy. No, it's not anything like that. No, it's not any of that. Just the reality of it. The reality of the word, the reality of so many things. There it is. Remember, to everything, turn, 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 there is a season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. Mike, tell me, Mike, this is King James. This doesn't sound like King James. It sounds like, huh? I knew it, Mike. I knew it. Are you turning into Sheldon on me? Huh? Is that what you're doing? No. King James. That's the one that the birds wrote out of. Mike's doing his best to try to get it up here now. See, they'll slip that other, they'll slip that weak stuff in there on him. And I, you know, Father, Son, and the King James Bible, that's where I go. Not really, but there it is. To everything, there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to, you guys know it, right? Did you know that? Many of you out there maybe didn't know that. Mike, there's a challenge for you. It'll get banned. Pull up, go to YouTube and find Turn, 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 the birds. Turn, turn, turn. And it was one of the first times in my whole life that I was quoting scripture and didn't know it when I was singing the birds. Singing that. Isn't that amazing? To everything, turn, turn. It's B-Y-R-D-S. Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike. B-Y-R-D-S, the birds. Now, they're going to ban us for this. Let's give us about 30. Go to the one below. Yep. Right out of Ecclesiastes 7. Bring it clean. I don't know.
Everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn.
Right there it is, a time to be born, a time to die, all this stuff, everything, there's a season. Boy, I got Mike bouncing around here this morning. Hope you got some sleep last night. Time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down, time to build up, time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Wow. I swear it's not too late. Okay, now go back to turn, 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 Mike. So everybody gets, I don't know why I feel this way this morning. It's just very, very, very real to me, man. We're different seasons of life.
To plan, a time to read, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to...
Where would those scruggly guys, where would they come up with a Bible verse to make a popular song out of? And how many people sang that song and had no idea it was from the Bible? I didn't. And I remember I was going around singing that one day when I was in college. One of the guys said to me, hey, say, you know, that's Ecclesiastes. I said, what? Ecclesiastes. Well, I didn't know what Ecclesiastes was. I thought it was mythology, right? He said, yeah, it said, that's right out of the Bible. What? They're singing right out of those words, right out of the Bible. And there it was. And boy, is that ever real? Is that ever real? What if we, Jack, what if we really move through different seasons of our life? What if there really are seasons to our life? And what if one of the hardest things for us to do is realize that the Lord is moving us into a different season? Just like you can't stop, you know, we had one of those nights last night here where it was a beautiful sunshine, and then within 15 minutes it was a horrendous downpour, and then this morning unbelievable fog. Just different. You can't even do anything. It just shows. There it is. Boom. Sun. Boom. Rain. Boom. Fog. Kind of the seasons of life, isn't it? Well, 40 and a half years later, I took my buddy Norm and his wife Barb out on the boat. We have a little pontoon boat. Don't think I got a big yacht. Out on our pontoon boat for their 50th anniversary. And I was talking to Norm. 50 years. Larry, you've been married 50. Anybody in here been married 50 stinking years? Are you kidding me? 50? And there they were on our boat, just Barb and Norm and me and Michelle, and 50 years. You look over your shoulder, look back, what period do you remember? What do you remember most about your marriage? And you know, it's funny, if you would ask them that, they would give you pockets of time, you know? There was that time when we were married and it was just us. And there was time when we got Jake and we got John. And there was a time, seasons. I wonder what season we're in now. Because we're on a different season in this natural world in which we live. But we're all in a different spiritual season too. Some of us are in different places. Some of us are planting. Some of us are plucking up what's been planted. To everything, there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. What's your purpose? What's your purpose under heaven? Is your purpose just to be born here and make a lot of money and die? Was that it? Is that the purpose of it? And it's going to be one of those things. I had somebody say to me, you know, the greatest feeling that you're going to have in heaven when you stand before the Lord, before he lets you come in, the greatest feeling that you're going to have is one of regret. As you look back over your shoulder, if they play that, they do that Rolodex, or they play that videotape of your life, you know, they say your life flashes before you. They play that videotape of your life and you're going to look at it and see all the things that you missed. Oh, daggone, right there. Oh, stop that right there. Let me go right back there. If I could go right back there knowing what I know now. Or as my buddy said to me yesterday, life should be lived backwards, shouldn't it? Wouldn't it be better if we were at the end and we lived it till we were young and we could undo all those mistakes we made? Come on in, Larry. Did you want to come in, Larry? I see you're unmiked. I'm sorry. That's all I said. So I don't even know what I'm talking about today, other than I think some of you are shifting seasons and you don't know it. The seasons of my life that shifted were like sharp turns. I thought I was going to go off the road. I was full bore ahead doing what I was doing. The next thing I know, signpost up ahead, next stop, the Twilight Zone. And I went into a period of Twilight Zone like, are you kidding me? And then I tried to right the ship and pulled straighten the car out and come in and start down the highway again. And whoop, there comes another curve. And I fishtailed through that thing and done that about 4 or 5 times in my life. I just happened to think as I sit here today at 7:15 on the 17th day of August, 2020. I think we're all in one of those hairpin turns right now. I think we are. All of us. And, scripture talks about, I don't know what you would find it, Mike. It just came into my head. That we not miss the time of his visitation. What a sad thing that would be if we missed the time of the Lord's visitation. We were right here. We were planted. We were in position. But we got distracted. And the opportunity for us to do what really our whole life really, so for most of us, Dave Klontz again, my old buddy. Mike's looking it up. See if you can find there, Mike. We not miss the time of his. And shall and lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall leave one stone upon another because thou knewest. For the day shall come upon thee. Where is this, Mike? I'm trying to find where this is. For the day shall... Luke 19:43. For the day shall come upon you that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee. Anybody see that trench about you? That's your enemies. Mike, you see that trench? Huh?
Amen. Amen, brother.
And compass thee round and keep thee on every side. So they built, they fenced you in, boys and girls. The enemy fences you in. Wow. For the day shall come upon thee that your enemy shall cast a trench around you. Going to dig a ditch and compass you around and keep you in on every side. And shall lay thee even with the ground. Your children will be there with you. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. And it happened to you because you did not know the time of your visitation. Wow, huh? Some old buddy Dave Klontz, I was discussing, he's 70, what, how old are you telling me? 72, maybe he is. He might be older than that. Graduated 1964. How old does that make you? Make him 7 years older than me, 64. 7 years older than me. He's 74. And I said, hey, Dave, how many games did you win? He was a baseball coach, football coach. How many games did you win? And he gave me the most profound answer. You listening, Jack? Because this is life. I said, Dave, how many games did you win? And he said, well, coach, about 8 that really mattered. I thought, oh, my goodness, that's it, isn't it? About 8 that really mattered. I won 1,000. But only 8 of them really mattered. Only 8 of them were life-altering, life-changing games. Only 8 of them. And I sense we're there, boys. I sense we're in one of those games right now. And the good thing about a football game against a worthy opponent is you don't know if you're going to win. When I look back over my coaching career, I can tell you this. Most games, even though I always thought we would win, that we would always figure out a way. The old saying I used to have with the players, keep it close, I'll think of something. The truth of the matter is, most games we went in either as the underdog or the overdog. You knew going in whether you were going to win or whether you weren't. Pretty much. And that's why Dave said there's only 8 of them that really mattered. And the 8 of them that were really mattered were the ones that you weren't supposed to win. You weren't supposed to win them. You did. You did. You won them against all odds. And so we all sit here. I'm 60. I'm heading 67 going on 68, as the kids like to say. I got a feeling that biggest game's still in front of me. Feel that way, Jack? That biggest game still in front of you, man?
What was that you said about a worthy opponent?
I said we're playing against a worthy opponent. Yeah. Satan's a worthy opponent, man. This ain't beanbag. Boys and girls, this ain't beanbag, man. This is possibly the second most powerful force in all the universe. This ain't beanbag. Scripture tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That our eyes have not seen, our ears not heard, neither has ever entered into our heart the things God has in store for those 11. Man, what must that be? When you end up falling on your sword, you want it to be whimpering away in nursing home somewhere? Is that what you want? You want it to happen like getting the COVID virus and cowering and dying with a face mask on? You want to die on the front lines? Hey, Mike, play some more turn there.
terrifying without.
And the time to every purpose.
Okay, boys and girls.
Everything.
What time is it, man? What time is it? All right, I'm going to shift off that. I just wanted to share that. That was really, really on my heart. Really on my heart. You know, the truth is, some of us may not be here a year from today. Maybe none of us will be here a year from today, right? We don't know. We don't know.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Coach.
All those games that you went in as an underdog,
uh-huh.
In any of them, did you ever say, well, since I can't win this game, let me go get a bazooka and blow things up?
I used to say this. Again, I got this from Dave Klontz. And sometimes you reach a point, Larry, where you say, hey, boys, let's just fall back and save the equipment.
Okay. In our situation, and I'm talking about, I know a lot of people in the queue here. I don't know them as well as I know others or some of you, but I know them. And a lot of people, we have this idea that we understand that, for example, there's two arenas in our lives that we're concerned with, or largely concerned with. One is the state of the Christian church. I'm talking about the true church, the body of Christ that actually is connected to Christ. And the other is the state of our nation. And in both of these, we appear to be the underdog. And in both of them, the solution is about the same. We're not going, you and I and the rest of us, we're not going to change what is in government, and we're not going to change what is in the false church out there. But what we can do is we can build the true church like you've been doing through the huddle and past the salt and everything, and that communication and that camaraderie and that unity that is being built in between the individual members of the body of Christ across the country through your ministry. We can do that. And then we can go out and we can do the one in Texas like Chad is doing and Bob Lee in Pennsylvania and Kentucky and stuff. Now, that's what we can do. We can do and control our own actions, but we can't force change on the satanic social clubs, and we can't force change and make the government change. We can start at the bottom in our own local levels. We can get a few people together, and we can get a small change made there in the laws, not the people, but in the laws. Or we can get one of our people into a small position, etc. But you got to start at the bottom and work up when you want to change these things. When you got into that football game, you were the underdog. You didn't go to the last 10 seconds of the fourth quarter and start playing. You had to start at the whistle.
But you know, Larry, here's the truth, brother. In my heart, I never thought we'd lose. And see, what's happened to us, I believe in the church, and I don't want to dive into theology here. It's not really my point. Most of us don't think we're winning. We're going to win. We know the line, right? We win in the end. Most of us don't think we're going to win now. And I think the greatest sadness that we're going to have is when we get to the other side to see that we could have won now. That to me, that's the saddest part. We could have won now. All of this stuff that's upon us, it didn't have to happen. We had bad theology. We thought we would win in the end, and we didn't stand and fight when we could have. Go ahead, Jack. Jack, I assume you want to. Your microphone's open. Can't hear you, man.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff. Sorry, Jack, yeah. I couldn't hear you there. Try it again. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I think of John 6:44, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. I think reflecting on what you're bringing up is a lot of people, they see they had the victory ahead of time, but they lose the motivation to step up to the plate and hit that ball. getting to baseball here, it get on their take that challenge.
I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree more. See, I couldn't agree more. And for some reason, churches lacks confidence. I don't know what it is. The scriptures, Silver says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We either believe that or we don't. And I don't think we believe it. I think we mouth it. I think we have a general understanding that Christ wins. I think we have that general understanding. But Jesus said we would do greater things. He says, because I go to my Father, you guys are going to do better stuff than I ever did. And have we? Go ahead, Dale.
Yes. Well, to answer that question, because that's always been a question in the back of my mind when Jesus said that, he's like, and you think about the elementary teachings in Hebrews. And the fact of the matter is, when Jesus was here, he was encapsulated as a man. He was only one going about as one person, healing people whom he touched. But when he left, he sent the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're able to do what he did. That means this is happening everywhere. This is the greater part of it. But if I have just a few minutes, I want to, and I think it's just an incredible thing that I was sharing yesterday at church, but with what you're saying in the chapters in our life, and do we win in the end? I don't know about us, but I know God does. And I was teaching out of the book of Habakkuk. And a Habakkuk starts like this. I said, if Habakkuk was today, I think that we would, if I were to read this, you would think that he was a news reporter today. Because Habakkuk talks about, in the first chapter, just the violence that's going on. He's like, Lord, I'm crying out to you. You're not listening. There's violence. And he goes on and he says this. He goes, why do you make me see the perversion or iniquity? Cause me to look upon this. For destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists. The law is ignored. Justice is never upheld. And the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Mm. That was chapter one. I mean, and so when you get to chapter two, the Lord tells Habakkuk what to do. And
Write it down, brother.
He says, I will stand my guard and I will station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see he who speaks to me. And how I repay, but down in verse 3, it's really cool. He says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. Mm. It is hastening towards the goal line, coach. It's coming. Yeah. And listen to what this, the Lord, it says, though it tarries.
Wait for it.
And then chapter 3, he goes into this thing. He says, the prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according. He says, Lord, I have heard the report of you, and I will fear you. Revive me in your work in the midst of the years, make it known that in your wrath, remember mercy.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Amen. Habakkuk. Mike, pull that up here real quick. People say, what? Hukik? Wakik? Habakkuk. H-A-B. There you go. Habakkuk. It's a big good read for you today. We're not going to do it now. It's a good word, Dale. That'd be a good read for you today. Read Habakkuk. It's only 3 chapters, I believe. The burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Huh? You see him? Huh? Hey, listen! Do you see a burden? That's kind of interesting right there, isn't it? The burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. Do you see a burden? You do if you have vision. You see vision, you see it, buddy. I have a burden. Guys, anybody else have a burden? I know you do. I know you guys have burdens. I know we do. Touching my face. Stop that. Do everything.
Look,
that-
it's what he saw. What we're seeing right now is what he saw. He saw injustice. He saw violence. He saw that the law was ignored. Justice is never upheld. Isn't this what we're seeing? Why the heck is Hillary Clinton still walking free? But chapter 2, I loved it because we use this line. Wait for it. Wait for it. It's coming.
It's coming. Amen. So you just switched gears on me, Dale, whether you're meant to or not. I just want to talk real quickly about Millennial Millie, who was arrested over the weekend. I don't know if you guys followed that or not. Go to my face. No, that's not what I want. You guys know who Millennial Millie is? She was a reporter for InfoWars, yada, yada, yada.
Millie Weaver.
Yeah, this Millie is Weaver. It, coach. She's in Ohio. I didn't know she was in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yep. And Stephanie, by the way, Stephanie's on her way up to her hearing today. Stephanie is going to, she lives up there really, really close. And I was tempted as to whether I ought to go up, but I turned it over to Doug Hagman and Alex Jones and some other bigger dogs than me who kind of seeing what's going on. And there's something really, really wicked involved with it. And folks, we posted on our page, we captured it so that it would always be there, the video that Millie just released on Friday, the day she was arrested. Can you go to the homepage, Mike, my videos? Listen, get a chance today. Watch that video. It's what they don't want you to see. Is that it? Is that it? No. Yeah, that's
the trailer for Shadowgate.
Yeah, that's not what they want you. Golly, maybe I didn't get the whole thing up there. Maybe I didn't get Millie. Wow, guys, if you haven't seen the video of Millie's, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Play that again, Mike. Yeah, it's an hour and 22 minutes. And folks, what they're going to show you is, I give you a real brief overview here. Millennium Millie has had a couple whistleblowers. There's one of them right there in front of you. And here's what they've told us has happened in the deep state. That's Millie, by the way, 29 years old. She and her husband both were arrested for what appears to be bogus charges. Anyway, what this video shows, and it's really, again, if you take some time to watch it, it's really worth it. The most of the evil being done in the American government is being done by what they call NGOs. Does anyone know what an NGO is? Well, that's a non-government organization, an NGO. And so what's happened is our politicians have hired all of these non-government organizations who are doing all this mess in the deep state so that they can keep their hands clean. Say, well, I didn't do it. Hillary said, I didn't do it. I didn't know. No, she didn't do it. But she hired those who did. Are you making staying with me?
Right. They used them as cutouts, Coach.
They used them. They paid them with government money. They hired these non-government organizations and destroyed America through the process of doing it. That's what this video is all about. I just tell you, watch it. It's worth it. General James Jones. She names names, and who's these whistleblowers name names, and who they are, and why Trump is having such a hard time is because much of what's going on is not being done through the government, being paid for by the government, but not being done by the government. Does that make sense, folks? That's the deep state. That's what we're dealing with.
Well, Coach, that's exactly where I was in chapter one. Not only was the law ignored, justice never upheld, the wicked surrounding the righteous, but verse 5. The Lord says, look amongst the nation, observe, be astonished and wonder. He says, why? Because I'm doing something in your days.
That's right.
And
that's
you right. Wouldn't, listen, he says, you wouldn't believe it if I told you.
Even don't if I showed it. you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. No. And speak without dropping names. I don't want to drop names because it makes me sound important. But I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he said that he believes that this video. Remember, they told us that there was going to be some information that was going to come out that was going to people weren't going to be able to believe it, and that this was the first of those. This was the first one. And then the rest of us, I got the fair warning. The rest of us who are dabbling, doing any of this kind of stuff that we're doing, like we're doing here, the deep state's coming for us. And that Millie did, it was a secret grand jury in Portage County, Ohio. Secret grand jury? What? In a little county like Portage County, Ohio? A secret grand jury? And they said that even today, then Child Protective Services is filing a motion to try to seize her children from her. She and her husband both been arrested. So Stephanie's going to be on the job up there. She's going to be in there. They got Millie. They got Millie and some good attorneys. But we know this, don't we? That when the justice system isn't just, sometimes it doesn't matter what kind of an attorney you have, right? So we just appeal to heaven that everything's going to be okay there. So again, if you get a chance today, put your headphones on, play double time if you have to, or 1.5 speed, and listen to it because it's really, really. Here's the great news. When Millie got arrested, they didn't know whether they were arresting her to prevent the release of this video or not. They didn't know. Millie doesn't know. But she was smart enough. She set up what they call a dead man switch. You guys know what a dead man switch is, right? That's where you set up a process by which if something happens to you, the information is already automatically released. Well, Millie had set up a couple dead man switches and they arrested her and video was released. The video was supposed to have been released, I think, this Wednesday, 2 days from now. But it was released early when they arrested her. And it's already had like 20 million views. So it's another one of those things that ain't going back in the bottle, folks. It ain't going back. We live in a great time of unbelief. There to everything, there's a season. We are in that season in America, like in my opinion, we've never been. Hey, go ahead. Come on, go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah. I saw that video last night, Coach. That was really, really revealing. Doug Hadman came on and did an impromptu just to give everybody a heads up. So he was really concerned about it because, yes. You know, he visions that they'd be coming for people like him next and others like him.
Secret grand juries, Glenn. Secret grand juries in Portage County. Portage County? What? Hey, Mike, now I'm going to test you out. Go Google Portage County, Ohio. And you're going to say, where the heck's that? That's the point. That's the point. How do you have a grand jury, a secret grand jury in Portage County, Ohio? P-O-R-T-A-G, Mike, Portage County.
Yeah, I guess her and her husband live in Ohio.
Yeah, Portage County, yeah. Uh-huh. Up by where Stephanie is. And it's just a little podunk. It's just a little bit, it's just a crossroads. Ravenna, Ohio, Portage County, Ohio, in the middle of nowhere, and they got secret grand juries? What?
She lives like 5 minutes from me.
Did you know that before, Steph?
Nope. I about pooped when I got a phone call. Somebody's going, oh my gosh, it's a Portage. I was like, it is not Portage County. That literally is where Ravenna is where my kids graduated from. Like that's, I'm right outside. That's where I grew up. That's where the Ravenna Arsenal came in. Portage yep. County is evil.
Right.
Portage County. There's Nephilim mounds in Portage County too. So
well, there was a as you know, Stephanie, there that was a huge
shooting. Mm-hmm.
There was a huge arsenal. We stored all of our weapons at Ravenna. The Ravenna Arsenal is up there, right?
Yeah, so
we know there are deep state connections, certainly in Ravenna, Ohio. And lo and behold, that's where Millie was from. I had no idea Millie was from there. Now, here's the good news. Doug Hagman's as close to Ravenna as I am. And I had a conversation with Doug. Because, you know, we got to see how this thing plays out on Monday. But they definitely, there's more to this than what we really understand is going on. So,
yeah, great. Coach.
Yes.
It's Matt up in New Hampshire.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, buddy. Just so everyone knows, they're having a CPS hearing to take their children from them at 10 in their arraignment or their first appearance in court for the charges that, well, they found out what the charges were over the weekend, but that is not until 11 a.m.
So, Matt, they're going to try to take their children before they've even faced their charges.
That's right. And they, as a matter of fact, they could not even find the CPS documents. And Gavin was served the documents while he was in custody, Coach. And the only way that anyone knew anything about the documents or about the docket number for the kids that they were wards of the state was because Gavin held up the paperwork on a video conference and the person on the other end was smart enough to take a snapshot. As soon as he held up the documents, the county jail, the sheriff's department, cut the feed and disallowed him any more communications with anybody.
Just to protect the military complex.
Yeah, don't be surprised, folks, at any trick the courts play. Had a case here that I was involved in that involved the taking of a child from a couple.
Well, that's just The point I'm trying to make, Larry, is we all need to have our antenna up here. All of us.
Yeah, yeah. Because they told the couple that the court was at a different address from where it actually took place. And because they didn't show up where it actually took place, they automatically lost control of their child because of a snafu glitch. You know, they did it on purpose, though.
Exactly.
It's wicked, man. This whole thing is wicked. And so, I know Alex Jones is intimately involved with what's going on. He personally knows Millie and her husband, who he's in jail too, and the family. Alex personally knows them. So that's a pretty big sledgehammer to have behind you. So rather than me running up and doing hunt and peck like some rooster or some chicken here, I'm sitting back and watching what's happening, willing to help wherever I can. But this is right now, this is out of our ballpark, out of our league. So Stephanie sent me some good stuff about who, you know, Victor V. Vigilucci is Ohio Attorney General. He's one that's filed it. Portage County Children Advocate Center, amazing. It's just the devil's at work, boys and girls. It's real, and you don't ever know. You don't ever know. Hey, let me switch gears here because I've used 20 minutes already. I'm excited about this. Go to the schedule, Mike, if you could, real quickly. For the October 2nd and 3rd training, is that what day it is? October 2nd and 3rd, the one that we're having here. There's all kinds of great stuff going on our calendar. Now, we have had to postpone the event in Maryland. We just had to pull the plug on that just this weekend through a series of things that happened that we just can't do it. You can see August, we're going to be in Kentucky. We're going to have the one up at Bob and Tammy's on the 29th. That's 2 weeks from this last weekend. Then the Warrior Summit, and then Rob Pugh's having his event, and all this stuff's on our calendar. But I want to point something to you that Gary Pierce is listening now. He doesn't even know about this. This was his suggestion. But on October 2nd and 3rd, see if you can go down there, Mike. Is it up on our schedule yet? We're doing. We may not have it up yet. We're having our a second tactical training event here in Ohio, October 2nd and 3rd. And Gary made a suggestion to me that I jumped all over. We are going to do some spiritual warfare training during this event as well. I spoke to Tom Dunn through the black. That's a lie. I contacted Tom Dunn, emailed him, texted him. I can't remember whichever it was. Tom Dunn is going to be there and talk about child trafficking, all that stuff that's going on. Tom is an associate of Russ Dizdar. And Stephanie has also been elbow deep in the occult. And so we're going to do a class on, what would I call it? Spiritual warfare, on the reality of it, where we can sit down and talk to Tom and Stephanie about how the enemy operates, what it is that they do, and how we can better equip ourselves to push back and fight back against that. That is September 2nd. Is that a Friday? I don't have my calendar, and my phone's kind of screwed up. Whatever, the Friday and Saturday, first Friday and Saturday in October. And we are limiting this one. We'll get the details up there. It's not up on the calendar because I haven't given them the okay on all the details. But know this is going to be part of a spiritual training that's going to take place there. Thank you, Polly. October 2nd is a Friday. October 3rd is a Saturday. 2nd and 3rd of October at Sky High. We'll be doing that one again. So we'll get that one up there for you. It's a lot of good stuff going on. I got to show you this. Go to my Facebook page, Mike. I just want you guys to know how much right on target we have been here at Coach Dave Live. And I give the credit to the Holy Spirit. As most of you know, I've been saying for how long that the problems we're seeing and the problems that we're facing are demonic. They're demonic in nature. The Psalm 2, the kings of this world are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. We know that. That's what's going on. The devil's at work. We know that. But now we have evidence of it. And I would tip my cap to Bobby. You couldn't just click on mine and pop up there? I'm sorry. I didn't put it on there for you. I'm sorry. Bobby made a little video. Folks, BLM. Here it is, This is the video by Bobby. This is about 8 minutes long. We're not going to watch it all, but we're going to watch some of it. BLM are witches. They are witches, W-I-T-C-H-E-S, in their own words, witches. So, Mike, scroll ahead to about the one-minute mark, and let's watch a little bit of this. Maybe you can put it, go back a little bit. Right about there, be good. Yeah, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then, Mike, maybe you can put it on time and a half. Going back, I'm sorry. One-minute mark will be pretty good, I think. A little more. Okay, go ahead. Witches. Hey, dude, how you doing, man? My grandson came down to see me this morning. Say hi to everybody there, Davey.
Hi.
So go ahead and play this. This is, in their own words, witches. Go ahead. Sorry, Mike, I got you jumping around here. Hang on, we got to hear this. We can't hear it yet. Hang on. It's important we hear what she's saying right here. How you doing, dude? Good to see you, man. I showed everybody that picture. That big claim you caught.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
When I was at Black Lives Matter, I called the leader a witch, and I got banned.
Well, brother, in their own words, if we can get this thing running, in their own words, we're going to hear it. This is demonic, folks. This just isn't communism. This is demonic, in their own words. Mike, you got to go back just a little bit. I'm sorry. Go back just a little.
It's a very important practice. Hashtags are for us are way more than a hashtag. It is literally almost resurrecting a spirit so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done. I started to feel personally connected and responsible and accountable to them, both from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply spiritual place. And always, you know, in my tradition, you offer things that your loved one who passed away would want, you know, whether it's like honey or tobacco, things like that. And it's so important, not just for us to be in direct relationship to our people who've passed, but also for them to know we've remembered them. I believe so many of them work through us.
Black Lives Matter is ran by three witches who are lesbian witches: Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opa Temeti. She's of Nigerian descent. They are all three are part of the Black Boule Seeker Society, and there are witches, they're warlocks, in the entire spiritual dogma or doctrine of Black Lives Matter is from the West African religion called Odu Ifa, capital O-D-U, then spacing capital I-F-A. But over 3,000 different religions in Africa, or Akibalon, is rooted in witchcraft and divination.
I feel like in our tradition, in our traditional practice, and people who practice, you know, traditions from West African places, one of the big things is remembering your ancestors. And I feel like part of the story and the building of BLM was about remembering and remembering our people. Not based off of a white supremacist memory, which would be about, you know, slandering them and putting their names in the newspaper and showing their mugshots, but instead remembering them from the place that their mothers and their fathers and their family would want us to remember them in, even if we didn't know them personally.
So these three witches, Alicia Garza, Opa Temeti, okay, and Patrice Cullors, are using the psyop of the witchcraft religion of Odu Ifa, which concentrates on 16 points of demonic possession and demonic influence through demonic performance of what? Libations. Because the term libation means the liquid of darkness.
When we come out into the streets,
and we pray. You know, the first thing that we do when we hear of a murder is we come out, we pray, we pour a libation, we build with the community where the person's life was stolen. And it took almost a year for me to realize that this movement is much more than a racial and social justice movement. At its core, it's a spiritual movement, because we're literally standing on spilled blood, right?
Yeah.
And you can't pretend like that's work that's just like some organizing work. That's, you know, that's some serious stuff, right?
They give libations, they pour liquid, what they say, unto the gods of Africa. It's all built on witchcraft.
When we say the names, right? So we speak their names, we say her name, say their names, we do that all the time, that you kind of invoke that spirit, and then those spirits actually become present with you, right?
So then, Black Lives Matter has 16 chapters in the United States and in Canada, which each chapter represents a name of a god or goddess in the Ifu religion called Odu Ifu, which has 16 points, 16 chapters of demonic possession. Black Lives Matter, they're operating through both omnikinesis and telekinesis. It's witchcraft. Wherever they go to create mayhem and destruction, they send witches, and every satellite head, every person of these 16 chapters of Black Lives Matter, they are a witch and a warlock. So with Black Lives Matter, they have molded themselves after a serpentine psychology. Hey, all three of these women are witches. They're warlocks.
Spirituality is at the center of Black Lives Matter. And I think that's not just for us. I feel like so many leaders and so many organizers are deeply engaged in a pretty important spiritual practice. I don't think I could do this work without that. I don't think I could do it as long as I've done it and as consistently. It feels like if I didn't do that, it would be antithetical to this work.
To defeat Black Lives Matter, to defeat the ANC, you can't defeat these organizations through the barrel of a gun. You can only defeat the ANC and Black Lives Matter through spiritual warfare.
In the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, it's clear that when we die, we no longer have cognitive thought, or, obviously, the ability to communicate, as if we are asleep. But man dieth and wasteth away. Man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down, and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Job 14:10-12. So, if the founders and leaders of Black Lives Matter are in fact communicating and speaking with spirits or entities, who are they talking to? Demons? Or are they just talking to themselves? Whether actual contact is made or not, these sort of practices are forbidden by God, as clearly described in Deuteronomy 18:10-12. There shall not be found among you anyone that useth divination, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Again, okay, Jared, is Black Lives Matter run by witches?
So there we are. Churches are embracing it. Churches are embracing Black Lives Matter. Isn't that what we've been saying, folks? Haven't we been saying, what is it going, a Psalm 2? The kings of this world have conspired against the Lord and his anointed. This is a frontal spiritual attack, and we don't even recognize it as such. Come on in.
Coach.
Yeah.
I'm having a backflash of PTSD. When I was there in Black Lives Matter, right in the beginning, before I started preaching, they were doing incense, burning things, feathers, you name it, were in progress before the event would start.
Mm. And they're doing it right now, Jeff. They're doing it right now. And we don't understand it. See, we don't understand. Stephanie, Sage, can you come in, Steph? Can you come in?
Dave, you know you love Black Dick.
Oh, God bless that man. Can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, I hear you. Come on in.
Yeah. I focus, first of all, my target prayer on these idiots that keep calling in. They must love us. They keep listening. So
yep.
I pray for angels to target towards them. Anyhow, sage burning is literally like white sage a lot of time, or sweet meadow grass. Like I had burnt a sage, a stick when we burn everything. But they do that a lot of time to cleanse their space. That's a typical thing. And they'll use a feather to cleanse the vibration and the aura. So that's what they're doing.
So Stephanie, does this make sense to you now? Does this tie the whole thing together? There's a strong spiritual demonic component to this whole Black Lives Matter thing.
Oh yeah. And even what the bad part is though, is that the people that don't even believe in it or don't even know it doesn't matter, because they're still getting played in it anyhow. And they're perfect puppets. And they're full of anger and stomping around and raging, and they don't even know, and they're getting played. And it's picking sides, either side. Either you're with...
Bitch, nobody gives a fuck about all the dumb shit you're doing. Shut the fuck up. Dave loves dick.
So folks, share this video. This video is... we've now, thanks to Bobby Lee, we've posted this video on our website as well. And share it with people so they understand. Folks, our churches are partnering with this. Our churches are. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Somebody come on and help me wrap this thing up. I kind of, again, been all over the place today.
I had an idea about this. And, it looks like it's confirmed. Witches. Witches are behind all this. It's principalities and powers.
That's right. So we've been identifying that, haven't we, Vinny? It's principalities and powers. That's what we're dealing with. We know that. Kings of this earth, Psalm 2. This is so real. This is so real. And that's why it brings me back to where we started. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And that the church has got to arise and take this frontal attack head on. And right now we don't get it. We don't get it. We can't trying to figure out how people can be so stupid to believe it. They're under a spell, folks. They're under a spell.
Amen, Coach. Amen. I am canon.
Stephanie.
There Coach, I'd like to say, those trolls and demons have no authority here. In Jesus' name, you have no authority here. Be gone.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Alan. If you wanted to, I'm sorry. Just a couple
of
minutes.
Yeah, Coach, I just going to say they're bewitched. The American church as a whole is bewitched. My pastor preached on it two Sundays ago. The spell that the American church is under, we've been bewitched.
That's right. We are bewitched. Bewitched, 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 bewitched. Remember that, right? We laughed about that and all the introduction of all that stuff into our society and into our culture. And wow. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Ken. A lot of infiltration going on for sure. We've awakened some of those spirits, haven't we, folks? Huh?
Some of those. Coach, it's Matt.
Yes.
Stephanie, it's safe to say, isn't it safe to say that with the practicing that they're doing, they are, in the willful idiots, are actually being possessed by demons, because that's what these people are actually casting their spells to do, so that
your God can't stop my trolling. I am God.
You're a loser.
So the point would be, Matt, whether or not they are possessed, they certainly are being oppressed and used by him, right? I would say that. I would say that. Would you agree with that, Steph?
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. There's people that know, they get involved, they know what they're doing. They do the ritual. They know what they're doing, and they know what they're getting into.
Definitely, there are those who are being influenced and don't know they're being influenced, though, right? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
I got sucked in, and it sure wasn't because, you know, I wasn't in black magic. I got involved in white magic. Like I said, it's all sparkly and hippies and long hair and flowers and Mother Nature and Mother Earth and animals and sparkles and heaven. And that's what sucked me in, and I felt
Amen.
For it. And that's
Stephanie,
why
go check on Millie for us. Turn, turn, turn. Do everything. There is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Indeed.